Some of you have read the classic My Heart, Christ's Home. It's a little leaflet, a booklet. At times we've had them in our rack, maybe around the church, probably in the library. They're wonderful. It's a wonderful little story about the Christian life. And it begins like this. One evening I invited Jesus Christ into my heart. What an entrance he made. It was not a spectacular emotional thing, but very real. It was at the very center of my life. He came into the darkness of my heart and turned on a light. He built a fire in the cold hearth and banished the chill. He started music where there had been stillness, and he filled the emptiness with his own loving, wonderful fellowship. I have never regretted opening the door to Christ, and I never will. And it continues, this, of course, is the first step in making the heart Christ's home. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to them, and I will sup with them, and they with me. You know, if we're interested in, you know, the Lord dwelling in our hearts by faith, you know, making his home in our hearts, the invitation is always there. All we have to do is ask, and he will come in, surely. And he goes on to say this. I'm not going to read the whole thing. After Christ entered my heart and the joy of this relationship, I said to him, Lord, I want this heart of mine to be yours. I want you to settle down here and be perfectly at home. Everything I have belongs to you. And the story builds toward this new believer giving over full title of his life or her life, his life or her life, to the Lord. And the story, as it continues, it goes into all the areas of his life, like the rooms in a house, the living room, the dining room, there's a hall closet, the rec room. And the one room I want us to focus on today is the work room. And Jesus asked him this question, him or her, asked, what are you producing in your life for the kingdom of God? That's a great question. What are we producing in our life for the kingdom of God? And that's where our passage in Luke 5 intersects with, you know, My Heart, Christ's Home. Jesus is shadowing Peter at work along the Sea of Galilee and then into the boat. Peter's a fisherman. You know, what if the Lord showed up at work or where we spend most of our time every day? Yeah, theologically, he's already there, but what if he, wow, oh God, you are here today. He really made it known. So some context, if you have your Bibles open, you can look at this real briefly. It hasn't only been Peter's work that has the attention of Jesus. The verses before, in the end of chapter 4, 31 through 37, 38 through 30 or through 44, Jesus came to Peter's town, to Capernaum. And then he went into Peter's synagogue in the town. And then he came to Peter's home. Kind of an interesting, connection, all the relationships. You know, Jesus, he probably read the scripture in the synagogue and he taught a little bit. There was a man with an unclean spirit, it said, and Jesus delivered him. And then it says that Jesus walked a short distance to Peter's home. We did that walk along the Sea of Galilee in Capernaum. The ruins of the synagogue are still there. And underneath this real modern church, you could look underneath there, and there's the ruins, supposedly, and it's believed to be 100%, you know, 99.9%. That's where Peter's home was. You can see the rubble a short distance from the synagogue. And that's where Peter's mother-in-law was sick. She had a fever. She may have been really sick. And he prayed for her. And she was raised up. She was lifted up and she served them then. And we know that this home, Peter's home, became the mission outpost in Capernaum. Over the next 3 years, they went out from there, you know, two by two, and they went preaching and teaching and healing and delivering. The kingdom of God was at hand and people were responding. But, you know, they probably need a little respite. So, hey, let's get back to Capernaum. So that's where they would go. When Jesus enters our life, he wants full access to it. I'm learning a bit about that. There's things that I want to take control of, and it's hard. And He just wants me to let it go. I don't know, God, are you sure? You sure you got this? But He wants full access. He deserves it for His kingdom. Will we give Him full title? Sign it right over. Sure, how do we do that? Well, we'll talk a little bit about that. Jesus was helping Simon Peter align himself with God's purposes, especially through his vocation, how he spent the majority of his time. Peter, I want you to be lined up with my purposes. That's why I'm here. That's why I came to your workplace today. I've been in your home. So first, Jesus wants to teach us a new way of working and interacting. You know, how's our way of working, our daily, you know, routine, or if it's a workplace, how is that going? You know, and relating to people. You know, is there fruit? Is there fruit in our work, in our relationships, our interactions? So Jesus is teaching a new way. On this day, he's kind of saying, Simon, what are you producing in your fishing business for the kingdom of God? You know, what kind of product is coming out for God's kingdom in your business, Peter? Well, let me show you what is possible. So Jesus has been on the shore. He's been, all these people are encroaching that, you know, a few nights before, or it's right before this in the passage, Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law, and then she served. But that night, the whole town, the area, people showed up. They needed healing, and they needed a touch of God, and it was probably all night long, and then the crowds here are encroaching upon him. They want what Jesus has. You know, he can help in the short term, but will they make him Lord? Will they really believe in the signs? But anyway, all these people are there, so he needs to get out into the boat, into Simon's boat, to teach. So he teaches for a while. He's on the water, the people are on the shore, and he's teaching them, and that time's over. And then the real focus here, why Jesus is at Simon's workplace in the boat with him, he says, Simon, put out into the deep waters for a catch. You know, cast your nets. And there's a subtle aspect to this narrative connected to the deep water. And I love the word, the Greek word is bathos, or bath. It's a deep bath, you know, the deep water here. But that theme, deep water, it shows up in Scripture, in the Bible, the literature from that day, and it's an ancient Jewish symbol of chaos, a powerful image. So Luke is telling us, he's perceiving that the first century church and world is in chaos. You know, I bet our world and our times would match it pretty closely. There's chaos. Hostility between traditional Judaism and this new movement within Judaism following Jesus. The oppressive Roman Empire. And conflict certainly in the early church. So where are your deep waters currently? Some of you do share with me in confidence at times. I know some of your deep waters. You probably know some of mine of late. We can look around in our world. But where is the chaos when it pops up? At home, at work, in school? You know, preteens, teenagers, young adults, the peer relationships can be so hostile at times. It's like, wow. You know, where are the close relationships anymore? People hurting each other or, you know, banning somebody from a peer group. And it just, that could be chaos for a young person. We need to pray for our young people to have meaningful relationships. Maybe you're trying to find work or consider a retirement plan. You know, I'm 57. Am I 57? Okay. I think I'm 57. And, you know, boy, my father-in-law, he's going to be 80, he's still working. Is there ever going to be retirement? In our day and age, maybe not. So there might be health concerns, you know, all the above. our world, our communities, our cities. You know, our lives intersect with such injustice at times. You know, what are we to do? It's just chaos. It's out of control. But have we allowed the Lord to take charge of our deep water situation? We're feeling swamped, working very hard to the best of our abilities, but we're getting the same results, same results. And there is weariness and doubts and questions. Where are you, God? We're looking for a change, you know, in our own life, in our world, in our society. When will there be a change? And all we can do is just grasp and try and take back control. But God is a God of peace. And He will reveal a path and give help to follow His peacemaking ways. He is about peace and grace and mercy and love. The best thing to do is just to get out of the way and be a vessel. Give over that control. Hard to do though, isn't it? Picture in the beginning of the Bible, Genesis, the first words are that the Spirit of the Lord hovered over the mist. But that's the same word for chaos, the waters, the Spirit of the Lord. And then God created the heavens and the earth, the vegetation, humanity, you know, the sea monsters and the little fish and all the wonderful animals. You know, with Jesus, will we allow the Holy Spirit to bring about in us that new creation for a new way of working and living and relating to people? Because how people are working and relating to one another out there in the world, apart from God, apart from Christ, is not working. It's injurious. It's dangerous. The world needs the church to be filled with the Spirit, a new creation, a new way of working and relating. All right, Peter, he's in the boat with Jesus. He obviously has a prior relationship with Jesus. For Luke, you know, he knows he's a good teacher. He's been in his home. He's been in his synagogue. Now he's in his boat. So he calls him master, verse 5, which is, you know, the same thing as rabbi or teacher. So he respects him as a good teacher. He says, Master, we've worked hard all night and caught nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets. They just cleaned all those nets, stacked them. You know, how many of you can relate to maybe a boss or, some authority over you and saying, well, we got to do this again. We got to do this again. I mean, my son Ulrich, he's been working 80-hour plus weeks. I think a lot of it's maybe been, hey, we got to look at this again. International tax law. But anyway, a lot of people can relate to that. We've been working hard all night, all week. But because you ask, I will let down the nets. Because Jesus asks, doing what the Lord asks of us, especially in our hardest situations, in the chaos, the regular routine, what would it mean for us to trust God in a new way, to cast our nets, to allow ourselves to be a vessel of the Lord? It's just whatever's going on around us, to be open to God working through us. That's what Jesus is teaching Peter here, and he will learn very well some hard lessons. You know, where can we put our focus, you know, where God would have us in accordance with his purposes? Our job, our work, at home. Yes, chaotic situations. Some of you are going through some amazing things. Jesus had authority in Peter's life. Does Jesus have authority in our life to do what he asks us to do? Go and make disciples. Follow me. Go and make disciples. Yeah, you're in some chaos, but God does good work even in the chaos. Consider creation and our new creation. So, church, what are we producing in our life for the kingdom of God? Jesus is asking us to trust him. His word, his path, even in the chaos. And maybe our prayer is this, O Lord, fulfill your purposes for me. show me how to prepare myself to catch fish, people, even in these deep waters. Well, back to the story. Of course, Jesus surprises Peter with a multitude of fish. Biggest catch ever. Nets are breaking out of some of the other boats. They come. Boats are swamped. They're sinking. You know, does God answer prayers? Does He honor our alignment with Him? Not always in this way, but I believe He does in little ways and even big ways. Some of you know very big ways that God has answered prayer. You know, the work challenges, relationship strains, mechanical difficulties. I don't know how many times I've prayed and the Lord seemed to start up that snowblower. It's so cold. Or just to get that lug nut off, you know, the tire. Lord, You do things well. You can help me here. And He does. And He changes people's lives. Even finding lost items. I remember, I don't know if it was Chicago or Florida where my sister lived, and she lost her wedding band, you know, it was the diamond ring, I think. And I was real big on, hey, I can find anything. Just I'll start praying and I'll find anything. I could find anything in a leaf pile, and I really believe that. Lisa lost a diamond one time. Never found it. Although you jump. Yeah. My story is shot. This wasn't in the notes, but we went back to the store, to the parking lot. You know, where was it? Where was it? I can find it. I can pray. I can find anything. I found a diamond, though, but it wasn't hers. And it was a fake one. Well, oh, yeah, we did find my sister's. It was underneath the hutch. Just reached under there, and there it was. Just pray. When the Lord changes people's lives as He answers prayer, and He changes our life in bringing our world to Christ. One of my favorite scriptures is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. Another one, and I don't know the address. Maybe you know what it is. It's in the Psalms. My times are in your hands. You know, just pray that my work, my home, my chaos, my marriage, my family, you know, it's in your hands. It's in your hands, O God. Lord, do not forsake the work of your hands in our scripture today. Help me work and relate to others for your kingdom. There's a second part of this little story out in the boat in the Sea of Galilee. Or Lake Gennesaret. That was a tough one, Antoinette, wasn't it? Not only was Peter amazed at the catch of fish, but he was humbled and he was repentant. When we encounter the living God and what He can do, you know, I think all we can do is humble ourselves. But second, Jesus wants us to do that, to honor Him as Lord and to answer His call on our life. He has a call for all of us. It may not be full-time ministry, as in my case, but a call to us to be involved wherever we are, allowing Him to have full access to everything in our life. You know, most people know the name Maya Moore. Former UConn basketball All-American and didn't she go to Minnesota Lynx or whatever, and they won a couple championships. I just heard on the news, maybe you did too, that it was on Christian radio. I haven't seen it in the paper, although I haven't looked for it. Has it been in the paper? But that she's not playing in the WNBA this year. She's going home, as I heard it. She's going home to spend more time with family and to grow more in her relationship, her faith in Jesus, and following Him. Ministry, priorities. Sometimes God has changes, you know, for a season in our life when we are following Him. And that's amazing. I want to read more about that, but check it out. There's a secondary meaning for deep waters. figuratively, it's not just the chaos, but it's where the fish are. It's where God is working around us. You know, it's where many will come to faith, even if it's a couple in our life, around our life. People, you know, there's some deep water. It may be chaos too, but it's where the fish are, where God is at work, even in those difficult situations. By the Spirit, in faith, we can join God where He's working in reaching the lost, the confused, and the other drowning children like us at times. It's where God opens our eyes. You know, I love the anthem. And it was fortunate this week to, you know, with the kids singing earlier, to put it right before the sermon. One of the verses, "Come be still, for God is moving, touching hearts with His love and grace. All who come will be made holy, for the Lord is in this place. He's in this place. Close your eyes and see God's glory." Well, verse 8, in response to God working in his life, Peter fell down at the feet of Jesus. We're assuming right there in the boat. There wasn't much room with all the fish, so he just flopped down like one of the fish right at the feet of Jesus. That's all he could do. Saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinner, Lord." He calls him Lord, not master here. You are Lord. What you've just shown me, what you've just done, I have doubted. I was dog tired. I was up all night working in my own futile ways. Failure, following my regular routine, getting the same results. He hadn't invited Jesus into his workplace yet. He came into his home, that's for sure. He was there in the synagogue. Now he's in his boat. But isn't it the same for us when we don't invite the Lord into the mix, into our challenges, our, you know, relationships, our work, our community, our decisions about money, even as a church, our retirement plans? I often find myself doing my own thing in my own way. Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. To fall down at the feet of Jesus is a response to a holy moment, a theophany, a God moment. You've had those God moments in your life where it's like, this is just unbelievable. You are in this place, oh God. Amazement, holy fear, a sense of sinfulness. You know, it's healthy to have that sense of sinfulness, not that we are unloved by God or unlovable, but just that sense of we fall short. And it takes a God moment, an understanding that God is in this place. Jesus is Lord. Let him be Lord and humble yourself. Come to Him now. Lord, forgive me. Forgive us. And from now on, that word, from now on, you know, don't be afraid, he said to Peter. Don't be afraid. Peter knew his life is sunk without him. Jesus said, don't be afraid. From now on, you will see people come to faith. You will catch people. It's kind of not a real helpful thing. We don't want to be going around grabbing people. But God gets the hook in them. You know, God does that work. You will see many people come to faith. From now on is the call to ministry. That's the point. He has a decision to make. And he does. He walks away from everything. What about all those fish, all that money? I'm following Jesus now. To join God where He's working, seeking the lost and the suffering, offering healing and forgiveness and peace. Peter left everything and followed. And they mentioned James and John, and we know that's a trio that had a little group. They would always meet together, always minister together, to encourage each other, to be with Jesus, and we need that too. Jesus would have us make Him Lord of our life, allow Him to have full access to our life. to live and work and relate in a new way. He's Master. He's Lord. How will you and I respond today? Well, let me finish up the My Heart, Christ, Home. It ends like this. It was right after, Jesus, it's a great part of the story. Jesus is walking down the hall in this guy's new house, his heart, really. And he stops at a closet. He said, something stinks in here. Something stinky dead, and I'm not going to stay in this house if you can allow this stinky dead stuff in here in your life. It was something secret, private. You know, they don't say what it was. And he said, help me clean it up. So Jesus helps him clean it up. New coat of paint and everything. And then right then he said, this new believer, I've been trying to keep this heart of mine clean for Christ. I start in one room, no sooner have I cleaned that than another room is dirty. I begin on the second room, and the first room becomes dusty again. I'm so tired and weary trying to maintain a clean heart and an obedient life. I am just not up to it. So I said, Lord, is there any chance that you would take over the responsibility of the whole house? Operate it for me, with me, just as you did that closet? That's what I came to do. You cannot be a victorious Christian, he said, in your own strength. That is impossible. Let me do it through you and for you. But I'm not the owner of your life. I'm not the owner of this house. I'm just a guest. I have no authority to proceed since the property is not mine. So drop me to my knees, he said. Lord, you have been a guest. I've been the host. I just want to be the servant. And he goes on to say, I eagerly signed the title deed over to him alone. Here, I said, here it is, all that I am and have forever. Now you run the house. I'll just remain a servant. He took my life that day, and I can give you my word. There's no better way to live the Christian life. He knows how to keep it in shape. And deep peace settles down in the soul. May Christ settle down and be at home in your heart as well. Let's just have a brief prayer. You guys are going to give me a special music song coming. Lord, we just quiet our hearts before you. I know you are here in this place. I pray, Lord, your healing touch where it's needed, your call to ministry. Just come. Continue to speak to us, Lord. Amen.